duties of honorable members. Administration.
This is pandemonium without cohesion.
Okay.
It's a pandemonium.
Yes, we are almost 20 minutes. There's no meeting. So what is happening?
So can we then allow the department...
Can you tell the meeting?
DG and your team, can you present? You have 20 minutes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
No, thank you very much. We have circulated the updated presentation, co-chairs and members. The presentation, chair, is divided into two. There is a broader context in which the water charges or the water tariffs chairperson are being outlined. But secondly, our presentation chair seeks to explain that for the tariffs for 2021, the tariffs has been determined and it has been signed off right now by the time when they were supposed to have been signed off, chair. Just for members to remember that this work of tariff determination is actually premised on two legislation, the National Water Act of 1998 and then the Water Services Act of 1997. There are specific areas where these matters are being raised. In the main chair, let's just note that there are three kind of tariffs. There is a tariff which is called water resource price. In the main, that price is the one that is we are responsible for, the water resource development charge and the water resource charge that the department does all the time to the various water users. For the purpose of today, the person is about the bulk water tariffs. The bulk water tariffs in the main are being done by the water board. They do set these water boards, and the water boards, they must be able to receive an approval by the minister before the water boards are able to actually charge whoever is going to receive that. But there are certain instances where other water service authorities or certain municipalities, chair, might be involved in terms of the bulk water charges. We are not going to discuss in detail, Comrade Chair, the issues of the retail prices, the one that ultimately goes to the consumer. Then DG Changana will be able to go through that, Chairperson, and then we'll also be able to demonstrate what has been determined by the Minister after Water Board consulted with the Minister stakeholders and how the prices are looking like over that particular period. That will be the introduction, Your Excellency, Chair, Co-Chair, and the DM and other members, including Falka. Then we'll ask the DG for Water Comrade Chanane to go through the presentation within that timeline, Chairperson, that you have indicated. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG Chanane.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The Deputy Minister has covered the introduction. There will be no need to repeat what the Deputy Minister has articulated. Chairperson, we briefing Portfolio Committee on the process of determining water value chain tariffs. We need to state the point up front that we have to look at the entire value chain. We won't spend much time on the retail, but in order for you to understand the process, you have to look at the entire value chain. And we're informing the Portfolio Committee about the applicable 2020-2021 raw water charges and the water board tariffs. Chapter 3, we need to go back and look at the Constitution. We all know that the right to access to sufficient water is enshrined in the Constitution, Section 27 is very clear about this. Water, just to give a little bit of a context, we all know that water is free in South Africa only. If you fetch water from the river, you don't pay. If you fetch water from the bowl, your own bowl, you pay nothing in terms of the National Water Act. If you collect water from the rain, which is one of the reasons why we are distributing water tanks to households so that they can harvest rainwater, you also don't pay. You only have to pay for the water tank if you have purchased it yourself. But if you got a water tank from government, you don't have to pay for water. If you fetch water from the springs and wells, you also don't pay, unless it is organized for you, and then there is a flat rate that you have to pay. But all of this, Chairperson, I think it's important to note that we cannot guarantee that water will be fit for purpose, because it is water that you fetch yourself from the rivers. You don't have to pay from the wells. Rain harvesting, there's no guarantee for that. So in that point, it means that if you fetch that water and you harvest water from the rain, you also have to take care of the quality of the water. Where it becomes a little bit tricky, Chairperson, is when we have to get into the processing of that water, and we'll come back to that point. But just to give you a little bit of background, I know that I'm preaching to the converted here. You're quite familiar with most of the pieces of legislation that inform the raw water use charges, and this is enshrined in the National Water Act, Section 56 to Section 60 of the National Water Act, Act 36 of 1998. We also have the 2007 Revised Pricing Strategy. We also have the bulk water tariffs, which is informed by the Water Services Act, Act 108 of 1997. We do have norms and standards for tariff setting under Water Services Act of 108 of 1997. We also have the Municipal Finance Management Act, and we'll come back to this one. In particular, we have Circular 23. I think it is Section 42 of the Municipal Finance Management Act, which informs the process. We'll come back to that, and we'll explain it a little bit better. The municipal tariffs is informed by the Water Services Act, and also the norms and standards for tariff setting under the Water Services Act, Act 108 of 1997. Chairperson, we talked a bit about Schedule 1 water uses, which is generally low volume, which is low impact activities that are consistent with domestic use, livestock watering, recreational use, and the use for water for emergencies. This water use is permissible and does not require licensing or registration. And then we have the existing lawful use, which is in the National Water Act, which was promulgated in 1998. The water use was governed by the Water Act of Act 54 of 1956. Before the 1998 National Water Act, we had the 1956 Act 54. As a general rule, Chairperson, all water use relevant records, such as irrigation infrastructure, designs, they need to be placed to prove the water use occurred before 1998, and the existing lawful use must be verified and validated. You'll hear more from the colleagues of the Department of Water talking about the verification and validation by the Department of Water. And this is more about accounting for the usage of water. General authorization, there is a government notice on commonly referred to as the GN. Can you hear me? Can we give
you a bit
We also have the water use license, Section 21 of the National Water Act lists all water use activities that require a water use license and are subject to a number of. the use of water share, water use, we all know that water in South Africa is a scarce commodity and we have to use it sparingly. There is a map that we always present, which is a comparative map of all the countries that are categorized as water scarce countries. South Africa is one of those countries. And you have many categories of water usage. You have agriculture, you have industrial, you have the maintenance of the ecosystem, you have the power generation, you have afforestation. There are many uses of water and they all get regulated. Agriculture takes up a bigger portion of water usage. The last time we checked, I think it's sitting at 60%.
Apologies, Chair. Can that presentation be shown up if it's possible? Sorry for that.
I can please. I don't know what's your problem with your gadget, Honorable Seki.
Okay, I'll
no, I don't see anything on my side. Chair, I don't see anything on my side as well. It says there's a problem with it displaying this content.
Okay,
yeah, in my budget is very clear. I don't know what's the problem, Honorable Members. Do you have
also
it's also clear on our side.
Okay, Chair, we'll use the other presentation that was sent to us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I've never seen the presentation clear.
Yes, let's continue, DG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We are now on slide 8, just to make it easy for members of the portfolio committee. Water tariffs or water charges are priced and assigned to water supply by a utility. And it's meant to recover the cost of making water easily accessible to users and fit for use. This includes, Chairperson, the cost for collection, storage, conveyancing, transportation, management of water resources and water itself, and the correspondent infrastructure development, operations and maintenance. Chairperson, this is important because this talks to the charges, it talks to the tariffs, how we get to set the tariffs. Paying for water is a key principle and a mechanism to ensure that water is used effectively and sparingly. Tariffs should be designed to recover essential costs, but also to alter consumer behavior or to influence consumer behavior and to work towards more equitable and sustainable use of water, especially in countries that are categorized as water scarce countries. To supply water to all people at an acceptable level of assurance, quality and accessibility costs, both in terms of capital investment into infrastructure and operations and maintenance. There are principles that inform the setting of tariffs. I'm on slide 9 now. There are principles that inform the setting of tariffs, the determination of tariffs. The first principle is that the process has to be transparent. We'll talk to this. My colleague, Susan, is going to take you through the process that we have followed in setting tariffs for the water boards. The process should be transparent to all consumers, and we need to promote inclusive participation. It has to be affordable. The constitutional right of all having access to potable water, each person receive a minimum amount of drinking water at an affordable price. So the tariff has to be affordable. Thirdly, it has to be sustainable. This talks to the service. In other words, there has to be continuity of the services at same or improved standards. And this also talks to institutional sustainability. It has to be financially viable as well. That's what informs tariff setting. There has to be financial viability. The water boards have to be financially viable, the municipalities have to be financially viable, the CMAs, they have to be financially viable, the department has to be financially viable. We also talk about cost reflectiveness. In other words, the tariff should not promote inequities on both access and income. It must promote water demand management, and it must be cost reflective. Chapter 16, we'll now move to the next slide, which is now about showing the tariff value chain. At this stage, I'm going to ask my colleague who's going to take you through that process, Sizani. My colleague is going to take you through that process of tariff setting. She presents faster than the DG, and she will be able to cover this in less than 6 minutes. Sizani, over to you.
Thank you, DG.
Go ahead.
On this slide, we show all the phases that the water goes through, starting with the water resource management charge. That is basically the water is in our river. It's covered with 0.1. We are charging for the
10, but your slide in the screen has disappeared now. Who's controlling this, your slide?
We are controlling it this side, and we have shared it with all the members. Can we ask if colleagues want to share it from this side?
We can still see the slide, Honorable Chairman.
Water Services Act and the Section 10 norms and standards. Now on page 12, outlines also tier 4 to 7, which is the responsibility of municipalities, which are distributing water to the end users and collecting waste. And in most instances, they also do purify the waste before it gets distributed or before it's fed back into our river systems. Now, when we move to slide number 13, we are trying to show there which charges are levied by which institutions and who are the beneficiaries or the recipients of those charges in a schematic format. So for the raw water charges, I did say it's two different components, the water resource management charge and the water resource development charge, which will include what we call a capital unit charge for capital developments by TCTA. These charges are levied by the department with the catchment management agencies in supporting the TCTA as well. Generally, who are being levied? We've got three user categories there. It's domestic and industrial, being municipalities and large industrial sectors like mining, and then the irrigation being agriculture and the forestry. And the water research levy, it also forms part of the water resource management charge, but that is governed by the Water Research Act, and the WRC itself determines the tariffs. They get approved via the Minister and National Treasury, and all the users are basically the payers of this particular charge. For now, it's domestic and industrial and irrigation only that are paying, but moving forward, we are going to add forestry to start paying for that as well. Then we have a bulk tariff, which is generally levied by a water board, and that is the presentation that you are going to hear today. The bulk tariffs that are done by municipalities are not covered today, and then the users there would be the local municipalities that are not water service authorities, also water service authorities in most instances. The commercial side of the mines and the factories, those that are using potable. Then we would have the retail tariff, which is by municipalities. It's approved at their council, and they are the ones who are charging it, and they charge to the end users, being you and me, government departments, all commercial industries, schools, churches, and the rest of the users. Similarly goes with the sanitation charge. It's with the municipalities. The bulk wastewater charge is both municipalities and water boards, and now it's the retaining part of that bigger slide that I showed on page 10. Waste discharge charge system, I did say it is not implemented yet. Members will be notified once the department is ready to effect that charge. Moving on to slide 14, this just shows what are the functions of the economic regulator, whom the raw water charges and the water board charges pass through before they go to the minister for approval and therefore to parliament. The main focus for us now on this will be highlighted on slide 15, because we are focusing now on price regulation, not necessarily the other areas of the economic regulator. We did say that this function is dependent on the norms and standards and the provisions of guidelines that we do as Economic Regulation Chief Directorate. And when we monitor and analyze the tariffs before publishing them, we ensure that they do comply with the certain performance standards that we would want to see. And we are in a process of developing a tariff database to ensure that we execute that function with ease. For enforcement, our key focus area is to ensure that the tariffs are cost reflective for now, because we are unable to move to other elements of tariff monitoring if we cannot show the transparency and the reflectiveness of the tariffs. Now I'm going to take the members on to the raw water tariff setting part, which starts from slide 16. Going to slide 17, that one, the DG has covered it because it's just a legislative background. If you allow me, I will pass on that. The only note that I need members to take note of is that the raw water charges have to be approved preferably before the 15th of September of each year, so that we allow the water board to start their tariff consultation process. Now, moving on to slide 18, this is a little bit of a detailed explanation of what the water resource management charge is related to, because it says here it's relating to the activities that are required to protect, to allocate, to conserve, to manage, and to control water resources, and to also manage water quality as far as possible. Members would know that there is a pollution task team that is trying to work on this water quality, so this is the space that they are assisting on. The water resource development charge includes areas like planning, design, construction, operations and maintenance, the refurbishment and betterment of all government water schemes, and this is one part which is basically capital intensive and requires a lot of funding. The capital cost will include the depreciation of the assets, and that money is basically aimed at funding the refurbishment. There is a return on assets that is being charged as part of the resource development charge. Now, this charge you will see on the subsequent slides, some institutions or sectors, they are kept on this particular area, so we are not collecting enough there. Then there is operations and maintenance and the capital units charge, which is levied by TCTA because they go to the capital market to fund the infrastructure development. I did mention earlier that the Water Research Levy is being done through the Water Research Act, and the approval process there is via the Minister of Water and Sanitation as well as the Minister of Finance. The subsequent slides, they are basically trying to show the details of what is the formula or what is the content of the Water Resource Management Charge. In the interest of time, I don't know if members would be able to read this slide for themselves, but the Water Resource Management Charge is basically the cost of managing all the activities, as I've said earlier, divided by the volumes that are being allocated to different users, and that gives us a unit charge. Moving on to slide 24. This one shows the different components of the water infrastructure charge, water resource infrastructure charge, and how each component is being calculated, like the formula associated with the depreciation and the percentage of return on assets, as well as how the operations and maintenance is calculated. Now, slide 22, it shows the capping that is applicable on the water, on the raw water charges. You would note that we are showing three different columns. One is water resource management charge, water resource infrastructure charge, and the comments there too. So on going down, we are showing the sectors that are being charged. You would note that on the water resource management charge, domestic and industrial is not kept at all, but there is a certain level of capping when it comes to infrastructure charge to try and manage the tariffs. And also the forestry sector does not incur the infrastructure charge because normally they get the water directly from the ground, so they are not affected by that. Agriculture is the beneficiary of a large portion of capping, so that is where the department is generally losing some revenue there. The water use sectors, this has been covered. These are the entities of the raw water. I'm going to skip that part. Now, this one, slide 24. Slide 24 shows the function.
Hold on, honorable member. Yes, we start here. Let's continue.
Slide 24 shows the functions that are being charged for in terms of the water resource management charge. These are activities under Section 21 of the National Water Act, and they are outlined as such in the Act itself. So I will pass. Slide 25 shows the budget process that we follow when we determine the raw water use charges. So this is also self-explanatory, with the key that the tariffs or the charges needs to be approved by the end of September, so that we allow the water boards to engage in their process. If members would allow me, I think slide 26, from slide 26 up to slide 29, those are basically explaining this budget process in detail. I request that I skip through all those and go straight to slide 30. Now, slide 30 shows that the 2021 tariff increases were a range of 0 to 14%. This means that where the charges were already reaching full cost, those management areas did not incur any tariff increases, but then we tried as much as we can to cap the increases to 14%. Now, members need to note that the raw water charges are levied in cents per cubic meter, cents per thousand liters. So when we say something, a charge is 2 cents per cubic meter, we don't see it as that much of an impact. And some charges you would see on the next slides that they would show as 140 cents per cubic meter. That basically translates to 1.40 rand per cubic meter. The following slides from 31 are showing the increases over years from 2017-18 to 2021 financial years on how the water resource management charge was levied. And these slides are actually in the rands and cents. So as I said earlier, please note where you see 3.5, it's actually 3.5 cents, not rands. The next slide shows the same water resource management charge that was levied to the domestic and industrial sector. The next slide shows the same water resource management charge to the forestry sector. And then when it comes to the water resource infrastructure charge, here we have a challenge, because there are so many schemes that the department is managing. We have averaged the numbers so that we can be able to show them according to cluster. So we have grouped a whole lot of numbers together into one. This is basically average charges. If the members need to see the actual charge per scheme, that can be distributed to you. So we have also given it in a range of the four financial years for the different sectors. The first one being the irrigation charge, the irrigation being the agriculture, and then the next slide talking about the domestic and industrial, it is also average charges on the infrastructure side. I will now hand over to my colleague to do the bulk. Oh, okay. I'm requested to continue for the sake of time. On the bulk charges,
you have passed 20 minutes a long time ago.
Chairperson, we are going to request that the team DG, let's just go to what we have approved, not these explanatory notes, we have already done them towards the end, where we talk about what has happened in terms of the decision that has been made and the prices.
Yeah, I think let's do that because already you've passed the 20 minutes.
Okay. We'll go to slide 44. Which shows the charges that were, the tariffs that were approved for water boards. We have also shown these in incremental, on incremental table from 2017-18 to 2020-21, so that members can have a full view of how the tariffs have been increasing over time. Again, these are the rents and trends, and not necessarily the percentage increases over time. With this process, they started the consultation process in October, November, and they have requested the inputs from National Treasury and SALGA, of which were taken into account when the proposals were submitted to the department, and all what is supported here is what has been fully consulted. So on this slide 44 and slide 45 of water board, we are trying to show also on slide 45 the schematic visual of how the tariffs have been increasing over time. And members would note that these tariffs are not increasing steeply, but they are almost flat. I think that would be the last on the water board. The retail tariffs, these are done by municipal councils, and their process normally starts from January and they would end around May for them to be able to approve their tariffs. So at this time, the presentation only covers the process and what they consider when they calculate the tariff, but we don't have the numbers thereof to show you. But what needs to be noted is that only municipalities are the ones that have a rising block tariff that they can levy. Water boards and the department will charge a single amount from the first kiloliter that is being charged to people. Now on slide 53, slide 53 shows a roadmap of how these charges do take place. You would note that the raw water charges, they run from April to August of each year, and they have to be approved and gazetted by the end of September, and they take effect on the 1st of April of the next financial year. The bulk tariffs would start their consultation process in October up to March. They end on the 15th of March by the tabling in Parliament after the approval by Minister, and those charges would take effect on the 1st of July of the same year. Municipalities, their tariffs start in January to June, and they are approved by the Municipal Council. They are, the due date, the end time for them to consider these tariffs is June, and they are also applicable from the 1st of July, same as the water board tariffs.
Chairperson, that concludes our presentation, and I'm now going to hand over to the Deputy Minister to wrap it up and hand over to you.
Honorable Comrade Conscious, That will be our presentation. Our apologies to belong. We thought we should do those two parts. Firstly, the explanatory part, because it's very important that we should share that. And then the last part, Chairperson, like the DJ and the team was indicating, is already the decision that has been made now, and how did we arrive at these particular numbers. But also to be guided by yourselves, that as we go forward, especially around the certain issues that are topical between the water boards and the municipalities around the prices and affordability for water in our country. Those are some of the issues. The other points, Chairperson, then will be able to respond as a team and also be guided by yourselves. And Comrade Obed will also be on our part to support us. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable DM. We have about 5 minutes to make the input. Can we start with Amadola?
My name is Phumzile Songo, the chairperson of Amadola Water. With me, I've got the members of board, the chairperson of the committees, and I also have got the CE together with the other executives. Without much ado, I will hand over to the CE and the team so that they can do their presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. They have 5 minutes, please, because we don't have all the time. 5 minutes.
Honorable members, my name is Dudusa Jayo. I'm the acting chief executive at Amadola Water. I'm just going to hand over to the CFO. His name is Mr. Luyolo Ogaizi, to just take us through on the financial side of the business.
Good evening, Honorable Chair and members of the committee. As already indicated, my name is Luyolo Ogaizi, CFO of Amadola Water. Chair, my understanding of the brief is that we must talk on our submission that we made to the department on the bulk water tariffs that you are proposing. Can I confirm that, Chair?
Yes.
Okay. Chair, as Amadola Water. Chair, we consulted with our stakeholders as Amadola Water, mainly the Buffalo City Metro and London Municipality, and also the Amadola District Municipality. That was sometime in October 2019. We presented our draft tariff proposal. They are on slide 28 of our presentation. Chair, subsequent that process, we interacted and made submissions to SALCA, National Treasury, the department. We received comments, Chair, from those stakeholders, which we addressed. Subsequent to that process, we then met with the department, where we presented the tariffs. They raised their comments as well. That was in November 2019, and we submitted our tariff proposals to the department. Chair, for all our three clients that we are dealing with, we have made a tariff proposal of 8.28% for the 2020-2021 financial year. I think, Chair, is also part of the presentation that the department was presenting on our tariffs as Amadola Water. Chair, we have... We were supposed to have received an approval from the department in April already, but that did not happen, except for a confirmation of a submission by the Honorable Minister to the NCOP. We have engaged our clients and gave them a copy of that submission that was made to the NCOP for the purposes of them so that they can do their budgeting process. Chair, I think I must stop there as we still await the final approval now from the minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Amadola. Can we have Mtuthuzi? Mkathuzi.
Umkathuzi,
Chair. Mkathuzi.
Mkathuzi.
We can't hear you, sir.
Hi.
Mkathuzi.
Yes. Mkathuzi, Chair.
Okay. Do you turn 5 minutes?
5 minutes. Protocol of this to all members. Mkathuzi Water has followed the requirements of MFMA Circular 21 as required, and you have received all the comments from SALGA and Treasury, and these are also submitted to DWS. We're also waiting for the minister's approval of tariffs. Because of time, I don't want to go in details of the presentation, because I think we all comply with the same circular and the requirements are the same. Thank you. The percentage is included on page 44 of the presentation, which was circulated.
But you can just name it.
The percentage increase. The percentage increase is 8.65% for potable water.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bloom.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good evening, honorable members and colleagues. I'm accompanied by the CFO and the technical executive colleagues. Mine is just to reiterate on the cost associated with the budget. Chairperson, knowing that we have to maintain the infrastructure and operations of the water treatment, we have to repay the loans that are required to fund this infrastructure. Also, it is important to remember that even the distribution of the potable water to the municipality require funding, including salaries and all the operations of the board. I will request our CFO to take it further, because I'm looking at 5 minutes that has been allocated to us. Thank you, Chair. Mr. Stadler.
Thank you, CEO, honourable members. In brief, we followed the same Circular 23 process with municipalities. Just to say that it's still a challenge to get all municipalities to participate. So we have not been receiving all the attention by the municipalities as required. In our environment at the moment, there is still restrictions placed on the water supply in terms of the drought restrictions implemented by the department. It's still at 15%, so it still places a challenge or puts a challenge onto the budgets for us and municipalities. Hopefully it'll in future be released so that we are back at normal terms in terms of volumes. In our tariff structure, we have the operating side. We cover the loans, and there's a portion of making provision for expansions, and that refers to capital. So our inflation-related increases in terms of operating costs is around 7.5%, but our total tariff is 9%, so we have made provision for 1.5% in terms of capital going forward, in terms of loan funding that we should expand. I must say, however, that it is still a challenging exercise, as Lumwater has been seriously challenged with payment lately by municipalities, which places a strain on the planning purposes for budget purposes and tariffs. Apart from that, we have received the comments from both parties, SALGA and National Treasury. You've got different views there. Some would indicate that we've got our tariff too low for sustainability, and the others would say tariffs are a bit too high. But from a sustainable point of view, we are challenged in terms of CAPEX requirements for future expansions. But apart from that, the board has considered that a 9% increase for the time should be reasonable to keep it affordable in our environment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Bloem. Umgen.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the members. Chair, am I audible?
Yes, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Utamsang Awagahlongwa. I have with me the CFO, Mrs. Lungi Mkize. Chair, just on a high-level overview, we have applied also Circular 23, as other colleagues have alluded to, as a guiding circular or legislation or regulation that then guides the tariff setting process. Chair, our tariff is mainly informed by the prediction of future demand, as well as the implementation of capital expenditure that we will do, including then the other operating and maintenance costs. So over the years, we've seen higher than inflationary increases, particularly on the issue of energy as well as chemicals, which is the biggest input in our treatment process. However, Chair, we have tried to optimize as much as possible, thereby using gravity as well as optimizing the use of chemicals so that we limit at least the quantities. That then, Chairperson, has assisted in reduction of passing on to offset it to the customers. As we did it, Chair, we are in an environment where we're having a lot of rural development in our strides as part of the mandate that we've been given to actually make sure that we provide access to the areas that are currently unserved. Resultantly, we're doing a lot of plans around us implementing a lot of capital expenditure in the next years. With the next 5 years, we are expecting to incur about 17 billion of capital expenditure. And that then has an impact in terms of us having an increase that is outside of the inflation target. As inflation target is mainly for O&M, then we need to put in a premium which will cater for the sustainability of the future capital expenditure project that we're expected to roll out as we serve the areas that are previously accepted. Resultantly, Chairperson, we negotiated with all our customers. We had a consultation with all of them. We had inputs from all the stakeholders, where the main national treasury felt that with our ambitious 17 billion raised capital expenditure, we might not have enough increase to cater for that. But, Chair, we believe that we'll be able to manage the numbers appropriately so that we do not overcommit the organization, particularly with management of our loan covenants, etc. Simultaneously, Chair, USAGA did support our tariff with the saying, though, that they still feel that we need to work hand in hand with our municipalities, particularly on the prediction of the demand, as the demand growth has a serious impact on our tariff going forward. Lastly, Chair, we then propose a tariff of 9.6% across all our customers. We are applying a unitary tariff, Chair, whereby all our customers, the rural as well as the FN, are paying the same tariff, Chair, so that we can allow the element of cross-subsidization, as the running of the rural schemes is far more expensive than running of the FN schemes due to the density of the population vis-a-vis the sparsely populated population in the rural areas. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, CEO. Rand Water.
Yes, Chair. This is Tawanda from Rand Water. Essentially, what we'd like to present to you if you can see it on the screen, I've just put it up. If we have gone through the whole process of consulting with our customers. We submitted to the department on the 25th of January, and we are now awaiting gazetting, which is important for our customers. In terms of our proposed tariff, the key cost drivers are the raw water, which constitutes about 45% of our total cost component, then followed by energy from ESCOM and from our municipalities, which constitutes approximately 21%. Chemicals constitute 4% approximately, and then we've got labor at 17% of our total cost component, depreciation about 5% of our total cost component, and
why
other...
Why did you decide to fade when you speak important parts?
Oh, okay, which parts am I fading? I'll speak louder, if you allow me. Let me shout, in essence, this is our total cost structure. We are proposing a 6.6% tariff increment, which is from 10 rand 9 cents to 10 rand 76 cents. And the major driver, as you can see from our table, has been the raw water, which we source from the department. In terms of our consultation process, if you look at what we are proposing in comparison to previous years, we are proposing 6.6%. Last year it was 7.9%. The year before it was 12.2%. So this is one of the lowest proposals that were forwarded to our customers. In terms of feedback from our customers, this is a summary of what everyone has said that is written back to us. City of Johannesburg have said the overall increase of 6.6% is well accepted. Metsimaholo have also said the same, that this seems to indicate that they accept our 6.6% tariff increment. SAUGA has also given the same positive comment that the increase is reasonable, but we still need to address some of the issues that they have concerns with. We talk to our ability to raise debt, our ability to perform other functions that they needed to get surety on. But in a nutshell, they supported our tariff. National Treasury also supported our tariff with comments that we also need to further engage with customers to demonstrate that we are not overcharging them. So in a nutshell, Rand Water is proposing 6.6% to its customers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rand Water. Over back. Over back. They are not responding. Can we then take Mahali?
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. My name is Matsidiso Tabani, CFO of Mahali's Water. So basically with Mahali's, we followed the same process as the other water boards. We've consulted our customers and the municipalities and all the stakeholders on the proposed tariffs for the coming financial year. What we are proposing is an increase from 8.71 to 9.42 rand, which is 9% increase compared to the previous financial year. So basically what we've also done as a water board, we've also taken into consideration the over recoveries that we've made in the previous financial year, for example, where we had recovered more in electricity the previous financial year. That has been taken into consideration and reduced our tariff with that percentage. And overall, we have increased our tariffs by 9%. And the last thing that I also want to mention is that we also moving towards a uniform tariff. Currently, we were on a steam base. So from 18-19, we are moving to a uniform tariff, which we are planning to have one tariff in 2024 finished. Yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mahali.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair and members. My name is Fungile Galoi. I'm the CFO. Okay, with our water board as well, we followed the processes of consultation as other water boards. Though we experienced challenges with the other municipalities, why we could not get to meet with some of the municipalities that we are providing water to. Maybe, Chair, let me also indicate that we are servicing municipalities like Mopani, Vembes, Kukune, as well as Mohalakwena. But basically, some of the schemes that we are running, they are very small, from 1 megaliter up until 60 megaliter system, which it has become very difficult to run some of the scheme within a cost-efficient manner. So we are also looking into coming up with a system which will unify the tariff that we'll be charging to our customers. However, we are looking at starting with a district before we move into the whole province. We have submitted our draft proposal to the SALGA, to National Treasury. We have received comments from both the institution. We responded to the comments as required. We, Chairperson, also attempted to propose a drought tariff, which obviously has sparked a lot of debate between ourselves and the municipality, as well as Department of Water and Sanitation. But the reason being, we experiencing drought within the province. Almost 4 of our water sources are operating below average 20%. So those were some of the things that for the first time within the board we had to propose, and we were looking forward to such proposals to be considered. We also have tried to keep our increase of the bulk tariff at an average of 8.5% year in, year out. Though we also note that some of the schemes are still operating under a loss, but cross-subsidization is assisting in that process. We are also considering the socio-economic factor within the province. As you are aware that the majority of the community within our province are not very rich. We're not a very rich province. So those are some of the factors that in our determining of the tariff we have considered. That is for now all we can say. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Lepelle.
What is the presentation number, Chair?
8.5. Oh, 8.5.
8.5,
Chair. Okay, thank you very much. It's over back, not connected. So I'm going to hand it over to Honorable Mutambi as we invite SALGA to present. SALGA, they have 20 minutes to present. Honorable Mutambi.
Thank you, Chair. SALGA, I believe you are ready to proceed with the presentation. SALGA?
No, thank you very much, Chair. I wish to bring warm greetings on behalf of NEC SALGA. My name is Councillor Tsingubane, who is the National Chair of Water and Sanitation in SALGA, NEC. I'm also with Homo Solidarity, who will do the actual presentation I'll just say introductory remarks as a way of setting up at the stage. I think as SALGA were in this meeting because of the 1242 on behalf of the MFMA and Circular 23, we actually prescribe or stipulate that as SALGA, we must be consulted. We must be consulted in the decision making process as a spokesperson of the municipality. As we all know, that municipalities is also a role player in the value chain process of provision of water. I must say that the role is that we also need to have a weight on the process that will lead to the water board tariffs. Well, I must say that we received the report from all water boards, where they provided the information on how they've actually arrived on the conclusion. As the law provides, SALGA will then have to engage in a process of reviewing the information that was provided and answer the question whether the tariffs are justifiable from a local government standpoint. So what we have actually done, because to provide water you need input and transform this input into the water service. So the issue of the tariff, we then analyzed the information behind that led to the tariff. I think Komonso will take us through in terms of analyzing the input cost. The first one is the employee related cost in terms of the human resource. As SALGA were very much concerned about that area, there's a lack of consistency in all water boards. In terms of the salary increase percentage, they vary. The lowest is around 6.6, the other one is 15.2. It is if all these water boards are living in different countries, there's no consistency in terms of the salary increase percentage. There's substantial difference. But Komonso will go to the details. The second issue is the issue of energy. There's one ESCOM, there's one regulator, which is NERSA. I think for now the conversation is around 8.1 in terms of ESCOM tariff and what is being anticipated. But if you analyze the input in terms of how they actually generated their tariffs, some water board went far apart from the 8.1. Now we're saying we've got a concern about the misalignment with ESCOM tariffs. Again, we also have some concerns here and there around the issue how they've calculated the chemical cost. We also have some issues around the issue of repairs and maintenance in terms of it adequate. If you analyze the needs of the situation and look at what has been set aside for maintenance in some of the municipalities, the two are not talking to each other. Again, we are also raising some issues on the issue of the raw water cost. But Komonso will take us to the detail in terms of the specific. Thank you very much. Through your chair, I wish to ask Komonso to come in. Lezatsi.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Komonso Lezatsi, the Chief Office of Minister of Finance in SALGA. Unfortunately, I haven't been given the right to share the presentation. So I was trying to share, but I'm aware that the presentation has been circulated. If you allow me to go into the presentation. So if we look at the...
Komonso?
Yes, sir?
Can you show your face, put your camera on, like what Tansela Tamingo has done?
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I forgot that bit, Chair. Thank you very much. So if I'm unable to share the presentation, Chair, I don't have the rights. I tried sharing
it, but I... Chairperson, my apologies.
I don't know whether I missed the circulated presentation. I don't think I have it on my side, but if other members have it, that's fine. She can continue.
It was circulated. Which other members don't have the presentation? I suspect, Honorable Tseki, it was based on the number and the volumes of documents that we received. Yes. Is the committee section assisting Kumuso to share the presentation? Andile?
Yes, Chair, I'm trying to find the presentation. I'll load it as soon as I find it.
Okay. So, Kumuso, can you in the meantime be proceeding?
Okay.
And let's try and then show your face and proceed.
Okay. I have shown my face, Chair, but in light of the tight timeline, I will go straight to the third slide that actually speaks to the high-level observation that we've made during the analysis. So our view, Chair, as SALGA, is that water boards have failed to demonstrate operational efficiencies in terms of their large components around operational expenditure as well, basically running the risk of a gas spiral in that particular regard. Is that unable to actually ensure that the efficiencies in terms of operational expenditure. The quality of the information as well provided by the water board also differ, compromising the level of assessing the rationality and comparison thereof. And not all water boards demonstrated incorporation of capital expenditure into their tariff proposal, as well as none of the tariffs that were proposed actually came within the consumer. Okay, thank you. If you can just put it on slideshow. And then third slide, the high-level observation. The next one. Yes. So thank you. So none of the proposed tariffs were basically within the CPI as well. That has been our observation, as much as the rent water went marginally above the CPI, which is basically the lowest, and it was supported as it was indicated. So the rest really felt that we did not support because we felt that they were way above the CPI. The application of drought tariff by the water board is also incoherent with poor administration of how these tariffs would basically impact on the financial performance. So those are our high-level observations. So if you can move to the next slide. So basically, I'm not going to go into detail as all the different water boards have actually presented in terms of their percentage increase, but this is just to indicate that as SALGA, during the consultation period, we actually approved outright the rainwater proposed increase of 6.6%. So the rest we did not support. So if we move to the next slide, that talks to the comparison between what the percentage increase by water boards and the percentage increase by municipalities. And basically, we can see that the issue of cost recovery basically comes through because there's a number of considerations that municipalities must make, and that talks to the affordability eventually of their consumers in terms of being able to absorb the percentage increase. However, with the exception of Pure Waters Kloof Local municipality, which is basically sitting at 24% tariff increase with a variance of 15.6%. That's a huge outlier in that particular regard. So they clearly over-recovering compared to the percentage tariff increase passed by Overbeck. But all in all, you could see that actually most of the municipalities have actually come below the percentage increase in terms of tariffs. So if we can move to the next slide, that's looking at the cost drivers, really. So our comment is that water boards with extreme variations, especially Bloom Water, went on recruitment drive. We argue for the consideration of strained operating environment when water boards wants to increase their staff complement as well, and the ability of municipalities to actually absorb this cost and consequently pass over the cost to the customers. The Lebelle Water did not incorporate subcomponents in their submissions, and that talks to the differentiated approach that is actually adopted by different water boards in terms of their cost drivers. If we move to the next slide, around the energy cost as well. In terms of the energy cost, there's misalignment between water boards and ESCOM tariff submission, meaning that the energy costs are basically subject to change on what NERSA approves eventually for ESCOM. And other multi-year price determination processes, there's raised clearance account application of 13 billion, which was granted to ESCOM, and is going to definitely push energy costs higher, as it was indicated by the water boards. And in terms of the chemical costs as well, water boards are arguing that chemical costs are increasing due to neglect of downstream river supplies by municipalities, which results in the need for more purification of the water. So the next cost, around repairs and maintenance. So obviously with the infrastructure backlog that we're experiencing as a country, due to failure to sufficiently provide for repairs and maintenance. So the budget really are projected to increase between 5% to 8.5%, and there's a specific concern from SAWG in terms of the adequacy of the budget to avoid infrastructure failure as well as leakages. So a direct strategy should be seen in repairs and maintenance prioritization through water board budgets to avoid the infrastructure failure. And then other expenditure. So based on the analysis that was taken by SAWG, in terms of water board expenditure, we still observe projected increase in other operating expenditure, including general expenditure, administrative expenditure that was not really explained. As SAWG's position, SAWG's position could thus be any expenditure other than core business expenditure that are grouped and increases by more than 10% year on year must be considered as significant and disaggregated to provide a much more transparent picture of those increases and what basically drives the general expenditure. In terms of the capital finance considerations, so water boards finance their capital programs through either debt loans, that's either loans or bonds or equity, which is cash reserve. So to build up equity, water boards actually make surpluses and use this to create reserve that can be drawn down for capital expenditure. In general, the indication is that water boards are favoring the use of equity over debt. And basically, our position is that in certain instances, it pushes the tariffs in the short term, as cash is used primarily for funding infrastructure. This likely results in current consumers financing infrastructure for future consumers. Therefore, balance between long-term debt and equity is important for all stakeholders as a cost driver in terms of tariff setting. Mahalit finances its capital program through equity as it awaits its borrowing limits to be approved. Lebelle presented a tariff increase that does not incorporate its infrastructure costs and indication of debt accumulation to finance infrastructure. So if we can move to the next slide. In terms of drought, and there's inconsistency in the determination as actually indicated, and possible application of drought tariffs has been observed across water boards. However, SAWG cannot endorse the drought tariff applied. For a while, there remain unanswered questions around the implication of the drought tariff. Department of Water and Sanitation has to develop clear norms and standards to provide some uniformity across support. The recurring issues over the five-year submission. The following policy and operational principles were consistently raised in the tariff submission from 2015-16 to 2019-20 financial, and this still apply in the current assessment. Addressing the efficiency improvement in cost assumption, water boards must demonstrate how they considered efficiencies in developing their tariffs. An inconsistent approach to cross-subsidizing schemes when determining tariffs and decision of financing infrastructure through debt or equity. Some water boards still do not consider debt as a financing strategy. Inconsistencies in corporate plan projection and tariff proposal by water boards, and a three-year medium-term tariff projection to make planning consistent and promote stability and predictability of terrorists. So if we could move. So the other element that we look at in terms of the affordability as well is that the operating environment has changed and unexpectedly so within a very short space of time. So basically, we projected that COVID-19 and the aftermath of it therefore would have a huge impact on service delivery and the financial sustainability of municipalities. So the macroeconomic projection that South Africa is likely to go into further recession and local government will be affected as customers will be struggling to pay their property rates and taxes. So in really addressing the issue around affordability and the fiscal flexibility, we need to take that particular the particular conditions as well in terms of the affordability of municipal customers. And the lockdown impact as well. So we've seen already that some of the municipalities have dropped, the revenue collection have dropped between 30% to 40% just between March and April alone. And we're expecting that trend to actually continue, actually pushing them into a liquidity constraint position and the ability to actually absorb some of those costs. That includes payment to creditors, that also would include water boards as well. We're expecting the indigents to actually increase as well. Meaning that then the revenue base of the municipality will then be affected. And we really plead to water boards to actually also consider the operating environment of the municipalities as the tariffs are basically being passed. So the old government had to reprioritize and revise assumptions and projections around putting together budgets as well. And water boards obviously are an important part to the water value chain and also in terms of curbing COVID-19. So we advocate as well that the revision of the of water boards, taking into consideration the constraints as well that gets that are basically encountered. So if we can move to the next slide in terms of the recommendation. So as SALGA, we recommend that the department expedite the process that it had initiated to set up an independent regulator to the sector as we have in the energy sector. The absence of an independent regulator in the water sector remains a great concern. And the ideal position of the regulator, we're recommending that it should not be a directorate within the department, but a standalone institution. And SALGA strongly believes that the recurring issues that we've been raising over the years will then be resolved through the establishment of this independent regulator. Overall, SALGA has taken the position to accept only one water board tariff submission, basically, which is Rainwater. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Thank you, SALGA. Thank you, SALGA. I'm subject to correction. We omitted Sidibeng. Is it ready to present?
Afternoon, Chairperson.
Yes.
If Sidibeng were
okay,
ready to present.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Chairperson, we have presented the tariff to our...
Introduce yourself and what position do you hold?
Okay. Chairperson is Thembe Kakusakwe, the finance manager at Sidibeng Water. I'm with the acting CFO. Of Sidibeng make a get to Sikwanyela.
Okay. Proceed now.
Okay. We have presented the tariff to our local municipalities who are our customers using the tariff consultation.
Can you hear the presenter, colleagues?
No.
No, Chairperson.
We lost her. Consult with the Department of Water.
Okay. She is back now. Okay. You are breaking. Is it a network challenge?
proceed. Like we've lost here again, eh? Steven, I think we'll have to move. We'll have to move. We've lost the presenter. I think now it's time to engage with all these presentations. Can I note hands of colleagues who want to engage with all these presentations?
Chair?
Yes?
Break.
Yes?
Sorry, Chair, just a point of before.
What? Yes. Is it Honorable
Peggy?
Yes.
Debating an overbeg,
yeah.
Yes. If, just for record purposes, DM can record their figures for the minutes, and then we are able to continue. But I think Salga as well. Salga has presented a table that reflects all the encouraging proposals.
Okay. I see somebody from Steven is back. Are you fine now?
I'm fine, Chairperson.
Proceed quickly, then we'll deal with the issue. Did you get a better connection?
Yes, it's better now.
Okay, proceed.
Okay. We have submitted a tariff increase proposal, Chairperson, of 7.5% for all our regions from 10.94, that is an average tariff increase, to 11.76. We also submitted to the department in January, and we also received the letter from the Honorable Minister for the tabling of the tariff increase. Thank you.
Okay. DM, Deputy Minister, Madlov, are you able to... Deputy Minister Madlov, why are we answering the phones here in the meeting?
Okay.
The week of the Committee of Water. No, it can't be that you're answering phones here in the meeting. You could have muted your mic and also go outside. It can't be.
We don't have a whip in the Portfolio Committee of Water and Sanitation. There's no whip. Sorry about that, Chairperson of COPTA. There's no whip in the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation. We don't have a whip. We don't know.
We have the whip of the ANC
in our multi-party meetings and say there's a whip. There's no whip yet. We don't have a whip in this committee. Thank you.
But I was calling the honorable member to order, ne? He must refrain from answering calls and everybody who's attending.
No, you're correct. And it's not a
No.
Chairperson, who is noting hands?
Yeah, I'm noting hands now. Can we deal with the issue of hands?
Chair, bring the hand. Please not my hand.
Bring, yes. Bring.
Kalipi.
Mabika.
Power. Mashalika.
Mashiho.
Mukhotu.
Mugotu.
You not said Mabiga.
Mva.
Mva. I have not said Mabiga earlier.
Mva.
Thank you.
Mva. 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 Mva.
Okay, thank you, sir.
So as well, can I mention names?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you as well. Powell. What?
Powell.
Powell.
Yes, please.
It's Powell, eh? Okay.
Yeah, I'm calling for Lutuli.
Lutuli.
Thank you.
Kava. Kava. Yes.
So,
I've not said so long ago.
Okay, sir. Okay.
So, can we start with Honorable Brink?
Thanks very much, Chair. The most immediate concern, obviously, for municipalities is the fact of above inflation increases by the water boards. But not only that, read with the very critical comments by the SA Local Government Association about the presumptions or the facts that these increases were based on. So the minister is the regulating authority, has to approve these increases, and perhaps we can just have clarity from the deputy minister whether a ministerial determination has been made, because we saw a slide 44, but my presentation of the department, or my copy of the department's presentation, only went up to 39, but there was a slide 44. And there was an indication of tariffs and a suggestion that the minister had made a determination. Maybe we can just get clarity on that as the first issue. But then I just want to zoom in on one water board in particular to illustrate the concern, Chairperson, and that is Umgeni. If you look at the comments by Salga and National Treasury, respectively, on the proposed 9.6% increase in the water tariff. It's important that the Deputy Minister tell us whether these factors have been taken into consideration. National Treasury notes that Umgeni's 9.6% increase is based on a projected 12% increase in personnel costs. But then National Treasury goes on to point out that executive salaries have grown significantly when compared to other water boards, and executive salaries are the highest of all water boards. And the National Treasury wants an explanation of this. So Umgeni executives are paying themselves a lot of money, and that's an area of concern. Secondly, and this is perhaps more concerning, what Salga points out is that this 9.6% increase is based on a projected increase in electricity input costs of 14.6%. And Salga points out that 14.6% is way beyond the indicative rate that Eskom applied for. Eskom only applied for 8.1%. And there again, no clear explanations from Umgeni in this regard. And it's also important to point out that, unlike Umgeni has said, Salga has not supported their proposed tariff. So my question is, in respect of these two issues, has the minister taken this very serious criticism into account in making a determination?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My question be directed to the department. With regard to the recommendation by Salga,
about the issue of independent regulator. I think it is very much concerning not to have the independent regulator like it is happening with energy, with NERSA, because with NERSA, the energy people will make suggestion, and then NERSA will determine if you are not given 100%, maybe you are given 60% for whatever. So I just want to talk from the department as to when are they considering or seeing the of developing one like that. As we were listening to the board, they will all sing one song to say we have all complied with the circular number 23. Complying with circular number 23, when you listen to SALGA, SALGA will say they have not supported for, well, one reason being that they are unable to see if what the board are suggesting is necessary. Because at the end of the day, it makes one not to understand as to how come a particular board will suggest an increase of 6%, the other one comes with 7%, the other one comes. An independent regulator that is going to be on the side of the to say you can't charge so much, because for SALGA it's fine when they say they have not supported, but then it clears to what did they suggest the increase be, because when they don't support 8%, what is their suggestion? Do they suggest that it be increased by 2%, or they suggest that there is no increase at all, and at the end of the day, how far that their suggestion will go in determining whether the increases suggested are given or not. So that is my worry, because if that is not taken care of, we are going to end up like Sanka is mentioning, that with these boards, you will find that even their increment, the way they use their money, they will increase for some other workers, they will increase for 6%, and for others 15%. So if no one is ensuring that, maybe across the board, say all the boards will be given maybe 5%, because there will always be good reasons for increment for different organizations or different boards. So this is why I'm asking, if when is the department considering
Okay, Honorable Matika, okay, we are coming to Honorable Hussein.
Chair, thank you very much. I hope I've got a strong enough signal and that you can hear me clearly. May I just say, Chairperson, that I've looked at the presentations and the detail in almost all of them. And the one thing that I find that's missing, Chairperson, for me that's of great interest is in any of these presentations do these water boards actually tell us what their cost-saving mechanisms that they've implemented in order to try and reduce the increase in cost to the consumer. You know, Chairperson, I think that something is wrong with the system that we have at the moment, because you have these water boards that make the decisions in terms of the amount of increase per annum, which then gets passed on to municipalities who have to add their own increases in order for them to be able to make some profit and manage their infrastructure and so on. And ultimately, the people who suffer are the ones on the ground. So I do think that there needs to be some serious consideration in the way the whole system of tariff increase are managed, because these water boards need to be held, I believe, to far greater account than they are currently. They are actually being shielded to a large extent, because the public fight with the municipalities for the increases, and the water boards sit high above and are isolated completely from all of the difficulties that municipalities have to answer for those increases. Take, for example, the Umgeni Water Board, and my colleague Brink raised this matter earlier. I mean, the senior executives there are voting themselves a 13% salary increase, which is way beyond the increase across the country. And I don't know how they're going to justify that, and it's something that I would like to hear from Umgeni Water Board, because that to me doesn't indicate that they are actually making it as easy as possible to try and save costs as much as they can, because every rand that they're able to save will obviously impact on the percentage increase that they have every year, and that increase that they can pass off, or that saving that they can pass off ultimately to the consumer. So the impression I get from the water boards is that, quite frankly, they don't care. They don't care because for as long as they get the money that they want, they're not the ones under pressure to be able to reduce the ultimate cost to the consumer on the ground. And every single year without fail, and in fact over the last few years, we've seen above inflation increases on tariffs, which has been passed off to municipalities and ultimately to people on the ground, and it's becoming increasingly difficult. And these water boards, I believe, Chairperson, must be held to far greater accountability by the public themselves, and they are being shielded because the municipalities are the ones that the buffer zone and the shock absorbers between the residents and these water boards. And perhaps when we get to a stage and change the system where the water boards are more accountable to the public, we will start seeing a much lower amounts of increases in the tariffs every year, and they get away with it far too easily. 13% salary increases for senior executive, I'm sorry, in my book, under the current circumstances in our country, that is actually criminal in my eyes. It's wrong. Put more money in your own pocket, and you want to take the money away from the very poor people who can't even afford to put water in their homes. And these senior executives are already getting paid millions of rands. To me, it doesn't make sense. On the Umgeni Water Board matter, Chairperson, there was a matter that was in court recently, and it involves a tender issued by the Umgeni Water Board, and there was a challenge between the one company, and their argument in court was that the company that was awarded the tender, their price was almost R1 billion higher, R1 billion more. Than the appellant. And this relates to a water rehabilitation tender for the Naval Dam and Wiggins system in KZN. So it brings me back to the point of cost saving, Chairperson. To me, it doesn't make sense, and I don't know the details about the court case, and I'm sure there must be some technical arguments around it. But when you give a tender to a company, it's more than R1 billion, or almost more than R1 billion, it doesn't indicate to me that you're doing whatever it takes to actually reduce the amount of expenditure so that saving can be passed on to the consumer. I'd like to hear the response from the Umgeni Water on those two matters, and perhaps some comment from some of the other water boards, Chairperson, in the sector of what steps that they have taken to reduce the amount of their own expenditure, for example, in catering and traveling costs and all of those bells and whistles that they can cut off and save the consumer ultimately percentages, which means more money in the pocket for people, especially through these difficult times. And in fact, I think it should be something that the Water Board should be reporting on a more regular basis, on the implementations, the cost-saving implementations that they undertake to try and reduce their own expenditure and ultimately saving the consumer passing on a lower tariff increase. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hussein. Next speaker is Honorable Mutala.